Thanks for joining us today on the Larry Mueller Show. We're talking about medication safety, and we'll learn some more about how pharmacists fit in the world of healthcare. I am Larry Mueller. Great to have you along with us today on WPR News. And our guest is Anne Graft Ladisa. She's a professor of pharmacy practice at Concordia University in Mequon. Anne's also a licensed pharmacist who works in hospitals. And we'll talk with her about storing your meds, what to do when they expire, and more. Plus, we'll hear more about the different roles a pharmacist can play. And I've been suffering from a cold for the last week, which means I may burst out with coughing or something. So it's good to have a medical professional right there looking, staring me in the face. Oh, boy. What do you want to know about the responsibilities of your pharmacist? Wondering how you can safely store your medications. The number to call is 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234, or you could send an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Professor Anne Graft Ladisa, welcome to the show. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Thanks, Larry. I'm happy to be here.
You teach at Concordia University. What kind of training does a pharmacist get?
Yeah, so I teach at the pharmacy school, so we're a professional graduate program. So our students come in and they've already done some basic science and other courses as a prerequisite to apply to pharmacy school, some background. And then when they are here at pharmacy school, it's usually about 3 or 4 years, depending on the program, and we teach them basic sciences. We teach them about pharmacology and pharmacotherapy, communication skills, things that are important that pharmacists need to know about working with patients.
And then when they're done, is there a test, some sort of state test or something they have to pass before they're...
Yes, if they want to work as a practicing pharmacist, they do need to be licensed. So there is an exam that they have to take, and then it's called the NAPLEX exam. And then they also have to take, in the state of Wisconsin, we have to take a law exam as well. So both of those exams have to be passed before you're a registered licensed pharmacist.
I had a friend who went through the whole process, and the testing's pretty substantial testing program. She passed.
Yes.
She passed.
That's great. Yeah, our students, here at Concordia graduated in May. And so a lot of them have been studying and sitting for their board examinations this summer. I've spoken with a lot of them, and it feels really good to have passed your exam and be able to start practicing.
Well, where else do pharmacists work besides, a neighborhood pharmacy, like Walgreens or CVS? Certainly where probably all of us have come in contact in that fashion. But where else do pharmacists work?
Yeah, I think that's interesting. When I first started, looking at pharmacy as a profession, that was kind of my point of reference as well, our community pharmacists that we see to get prescriptions filled. But pharmacists can work in a lot of other settings. So I work in a hospital. So there's hospital pharmacists that help with dispensing of medications and monitoring medications for patients that are admitted. There's pharmacists that work in clinics alongside of other healthcare providers. There are pharmacists that work in regulatories, the FDA, the CDC. Our public health service. So I understand you're going to be talking to someone with, about the Indian Health Service, that, that's a role for pharmacists. In the pharmaceutical industry, there's roles for pharmacists with, marketing and drug development lots of other little niches for pharmacists to practice that are maybe a little bit more non-traditional and not patient-facing.
What are pharmacists able to do and maybe not do as it relates to prescribing and providing medications?
Yeah. So pharmacists don't have prescriptive authority, so we can't prescribe medications. But one of the things as medication experts is we can make recommendations and kind of influence that prescribing, you know, in a way that's helpful for the patient. So if a patient, you know, is experiencing side effects of a medication, we might be able to make a recommendation for a different medication that the patient might tolerate better. Or if a medication is interacting with another medication, we can make a recommendation where that interaction is less likely. There are some pharmacists that do have collaborative practice agreements, we call them, with prescribers. And so they can work under that prescriber under a certain set of parameters and help to titrate insulin for patients that are diabetic or blood thinning agents, a medication called warfarin or Coumadin. And so pharmacists can help with actually dose management of that under these collaborative practice agreements. So these are kind of more long-term chronic medications that patients will, you know, take for the rest of their life. And in a lot of cases, and pharmacists can kind of be helpful in helping to make sure that they're safe and effective.
Why, and this does not happen to me, but somebody was talking to me about it. Why does it take a time to fill a prescription?
Yeah, I do get that question sometimes. So there is a lot going on in the background after a prescription is called into the pharmacy or you drop off a prescription at the pharmacy. So, you know, the pharmacist is making sure that based on you know, what your personal health history, what other medications you're taking, making sure that it's, you know, appropriate for you, making sure, you know, looking at drug interactions, you know, making sure that it's in stock at the right amount, and getting it all ready for you. And then of course, you know, we want to make sure that you're using it, you know how to use it. And so there's some counseling and education that has to happen. So a bunch of steps in there before you get your medication.
I'm always kind of amazed when I go in and I'm looking at pharmacists working and I'm thinking, man, you got your in your hands here. You've got materials that could, if you dose it wrong or if you mix it wrong, you could kill somebody. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's got to be you need to be an exacting kind of person to have that role.
Yes, I think pharmacists tend to be people that are pretty organized, analytical, have a good degree of focus, and have kind of an eye on safety as well. So
yeah.
Yes, it tends to be one of our personality traits.
You would have taken a look at me and said, maybe you should try something else. I have a lot of admiration for those of you who are in this, because I know how critical it is, and medication safety, of course, is important for everybody.
Yeah, it's a lot of responsibility. And so, you know, that's one of the things we also try to instill in our students is that sense of professionalism and, you know, taking care of our patients and doing the right thing for our patients. It's important.
All right, I've got my medications at home. What's the best way to store them? I suppose it depends on the medication.
Yep, it depends on the medication. There are some medications that need to be refrigerated, so you should always ask your pharmacist about that. And make sure that you know, if there's it's not all, but some. One of the things that I think a lot of people tend to do is keep their medications in their bathroom. So But that's not the best place to keep your medications. Your bathroom can get humid and warm. And we really want to make sure that our medications are stored in a cool, dry place. So a closet, the upper shelf of a closet, kitchen cabinets are usually better, as long as they're not like, you know, right next to a stove or, you know, something that could get hot, or, you know, above some like under counter lights. So you want to make sure a cool, dry, they're stored in a cool, dry place.
So the humidity, I mean, it can affect, I guess, the degradation of the medication.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So it can make the medication, the chemicals in the medication kind of break down, and it might not have the shelf life that we want it to have and be less effective.
Yeah. And what about those medications you got, you're looking at the bottle and it says don't use this, you know, this can be used for 3 months or 6 months, and after that, it's past its sort of use date?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so expiration dates on our prescription medications and on over-the-counter medications as well. So those expiration dates are the dates that the manufacturer and the FDA can say that they are at full potency and safe to take. So after that expiration date, they could potentially start to lose their effectiveness and or not be as safe to take. So we should pay attention to expiration dates when we're looking at our medication. I know sometimes we buy things over the counter. Like you said, Larry, you have a cold right now, so maybe you'll buy some cold medicine this week, but then maybe you won't have another cold for, you know, 6 months to a year. So it's always important to check those expiration dates on those medications before taking them again.
That was exactly the situation that I've been in. Okay. I'm looking in my drawer, you know, my medicine drawer, and I'm looking at all these cold things. I'm saying, oh, that one's done. Should I take it anyway?
Yeah. So, and also, like, you know, your pharmacist can help you with that too, as far as, you know, what you should take when you're having a cold. I always tell people to think about, you know, what specific symptoms you're having. There's a lot of cold medicines that have, you know, it's one product, but it might have 5 or 6 different medications in that one product. So you don't want to be taking medications for symptoms that you don't have. So it's always good to kind of think about what your symptoms are, and you can talk to your pharmacist at your community pharmacy, and they can help you pick out the right over-the-counter medication to treat your symptoms.
Ann Graf-Ledisa, our guest today, professor of pharmacy practice at Concordia University. She's also a licensed pharmacist who works in hospitals. And we're taking a look today at prescription medications and safety when it comes to those medications with Ann. And I hope you'll join in with your own questions or comments. The number to call is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Taking a look at pharmacists today on the show with our guest Ann Graf-Ledisa, professor of pharmacy practice at Concordia University in Mequon. She's also a licensed pharmacist who works in hospitals. It's great to have her with us, and I hope you'll join in with your questions. You know, one question that comes to mind is the store brand, sort of, or the generic, I guess, is the better term, versus, you know, the hotshot brand. Is one better than the other, really?
No, I think that generics are a great low cost alternative to some of those, you know, hotshot medications that you talked about. You know, I personally choose the generic medications. They're just as effective and they can be easier on the pocketbook. So,
yeah, I just over the counter, I took the store brand. It was like $10 cheaper. Mm-hmm. And I thought, yep. I looked at the ingredients and they looked like they were exactly the same.
Yeah, that's something that's, you know, always good to do. You know, on the label there, they'll tell you exactly what's in the product. So you can do that. And if you're having a hard time kind of figuring that out too, you know, ask your pharmacist that's in the pharmacy and have them help you guide you to, you know, a generic product if that's what you're interested in. Yeah.
Charles from Oshkosh has a question for you. Charles, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, I'm calling about the test kits that have expiration dates for COVID-19. Are they still good after the date?
So the expiration date on the COVID-19 test kits.
Yeah. So I guess I don't know specifically about the different COVID test kits, but in general, those FDA expiration dates that are on there, again, just like medications, they're there to ensure that when the customer is picking it up, if you're in it, if you are using it within that date, then it is, you know, has the full effectiveness and safety with that it was originally intended for. So, so it's important to look at the expiration dates to make sure that, you know, you're getting what you're intending.
Yeah, that makes sense. I guess, well, I'm sure it makes sense. Charles, thanks for calling. Appreciate it very much. Matt in Middleton, we'll go to you now. Matt, hello.
Hello. I was in the hospital several years back with a bad cellulitis infection and put on some antibiotics. And I noticed as some of the antibiotics were coming up, you know, to be put in via IV, that the pump that dispenses them would be set for a certain amount per hour. And the bag would say it had, you know, as an example, 1,000 milliliters, and it was, I'm just an example, it was supposed to be dispensed over a certain amount of time, but it was either going in too fast or there would be a significant amount left at the end. And when I asked the nursing staff and both the doctor, is that normal when you get, say, vancomycin coming up and it says dispense this amount over this amount of time and there's a lot left in the bag, is that normal for the pharmacy to put more in and have some left? Or I never got an answer from the doctors or the nursing staff, and the pharmacy never returned my call. So it made me curious, what's standard practice, and was that normal?
Yeah.
Yeah. So in a antibiotic, specifically the one you mentioned, like a vancomycin, that usually contains what, you know, the dose that needs to be delivered to the patient. We do have some overfill in the bag sometimes, so that because it's got to go from the bag down the line and into your IV. So there is a certain amount of overfill in bags like that. But there's some medications that are continuous infusions, saline fluids, or sometimes there's other medications that we run as a continuous drip. And those, if, you know, those are at a certain concentration and they run at a certain time, and when that medication is stopped, there may be some left over in the bag.
Yeah. All right, Matt, there you go. Thank you for calling. Mary in Plover, we'll go to you now. Hi, Mary.
Hi there. I'm an oncology nurse practitioner, and I couldn't make it work without my pharmacist. We talk about the doses of the chemo. We talk about what we can do for side effects. how that's going to affect, or if a patient has a side effect, what can we use to make the patient feel better? Like I said, couldn't live without them in that setting.
Oh, Mary, thanks for calling.
Thanks, Mary. Yeah, I know oncology pharmacy is a big a place where pharmacists can be part of a team, like Mary said, in taking care of those patients that have cancer. As you know, with chemotherapy agents, there's lots of side effects that patients can experience, and pharmacists can help, work with the patient to manage those side effects, as Mary said. So yes, a very a big place where pharmacists can have an impact.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mary.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Mary. Appreciate the call. Well, let's go to Dennis in Fond du Lac. Hi, Dennis.
Yeah, hi, good morning. The question I had, does your guest have any concerns about ordering online medications from, say, overseas, outside the...
Yeah, outside the U.S., yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, there can be concerns. We have a certain, standards that the FDA has set for medications we use in the U.S. And other countries don't have the same set of regulations. So it's important to do your research. We dispense, the medications that are verified, by the FDA. Not to say that, other countries don't have medications that work and are effective, but you just have to know that they're being evaluated under a different set of regulations and what those differences could be depending on where you're getting them from.
There you go, Dennis. Thank you for calling. Back to COVID tests for a minute. Suzanne emailed us says you can search for expired COVID tests or go to the manufacturer's site using the lot number. From the package, you can learn if the expiration date has been extended, because I guess sometimes they'll extend the expiration date. There seems to be a limit on extension repetition, but if you've got one that's all right now listed past the date, you can use that lot number, go to the company, and find out if that's been extended.
Okay.
Yeah. Good information. Thank you for that. We have Julie in River Falls next. Hi, Julie. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. I am a retired hospital pharmacist, and the one thing I would really stress to folks is have a current medication list with the name of the med, the dose, and how often you take it, because that is a godsend when a pharmacist has to go in her patient's room and ask them what their pills are, and then we have to try to figure out, is this right or not?
Oh, man. I'm sure you're going to agree with this, Ann.
Absolutely. As a hospital pharmacist myself, that's one of the things that is so important, that we know what you're taking when you're being admitted, because sometimes it's emergent and you're not planning to go to the hospital. So I always tell patients, and I've done this for my parents and friends and siblings, have a card in your wallet, if that's the best place to, carry it, that has a list of your current medications, the doses, how often you take them, how you take them. And if you have a smartphone, take a picture of that card, or you can use the Notes app in your smartphone, but have a current medication list that is, as your caller said, that is so important to making sure that, we know what you're taking when you come to the hospital.
Yeah. Julie, thanks a lot for that. Appreciate your call. You can join in too, by the way. Number to call, 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Open lines get you on pretty quickly. Or you could email us to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Vern in Eau Claire County couldn't stay with us. He said He says, and I'm going to see if you agree with this, he says that crushing up Benadryl and putting it under your tongue can prevent an allergic reaction if you don't have your EpiPen with you.
I have not heard of that. I've not heard of that. You know, Benadryl is something that you can take. It's a histamine blocker. So sometimes when patients do have an allergy to something, that histamine blockade that can cause redness and itchiness, that's certainly helpful. Epinephrine is something when a patient is having anaphylaxis, an anaphylactic reaction. That's certainly a more powerful drug to take if you're having, you know, throat swelling, trouble breathing, tongue swelling, symptoms like that, an anaphylactic type reaction. So I don't know if I would put them in the same category, but certainly they've both been used for allergic reactions, maybe just different severities of allergic reactions.
Okay, Vern, thank you. You know, even if you're generally fairly healthy, chances are you're going to be prescribed a new medication at some point. It might be for short term, could be for long term use. What are the questions you should ask the pharmacist when you go that first time around?
Mm-hmm. Well, I recommend patients go to their same pharmacy to get their medications filled all the same place if they can. I think that's helpful because they'll have a record of what else you're taking. You can, when you have that, medication filled, they'll be checking against your other medications, making sure it's safe for you. And then you want to ask your pharmacist, how you should take the medication, how you should store the medication, like we said, and if there's any, other special instruction, how will they know when your medication is effective, any adverse effects that you should watch for, and how to manage those adverse effects. So those are all things that you can talk to your pharmacist about with your medication.
How often? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you mentioned that, but that's one.
Dosage. How best to take it. Make sure you're taking it the right amount of times a day. If you should take it on an empty stomach, if you should take it with food, sometimes that can affect the absorption of the drug. So it's important to know that. Or sometimes it doesn't matter if you take it with food or not, and that's also good to know.
Why do they say take it with food, for example, or don't take it with food?
Yeah, so there's a couple different reasons for that, depending on the drug. So sometimes medications are best absorbed on an empty stomach. So if you have food in your stomach, sometimes it has to do with the acid in your stomach, and it could break down the medication, or the medication is better absorbed in a more acidic environment, so they want you to take food, or a less acidic environment, so they want you to be on an empty stomach. Sometimes it has to do with side effects. So sometimes medications, when you take them, can cause some nausea. And if you have some food in your stomach, that helps prevent that nausea. So it just kind of depends on the medication.
Yeah, it makes sense. I never really understood exactly why. So that's a great explanation. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. And one other one that comes to my mind, just because I've had the situation, you'll get a medication to take for, let's say, 10 days. But 5 days in, you're feeling just fine. Should you still take the medication for the last 5 days?
Yes, you should. If you're feeling better at day 5, that's great. That means the medication is working. But it doesn't mean, for example, something like a short course, like an antibiotic. That's a great example of, you have an acute infection and you're maybe prescribed 10 days and you're starting to feel better at 5 days. But that infection could not be completely gone. It's just getting better and improving to the point where you're not having those same symptoms. But it's not gone yet, and you need to take it for the full 10 days, even if you're feeling better before those 10 days are done.
I'm one of those people. Well, it's good to know. I'm one of those people who doesn't like to take pills anyway. I hate even taking I don't even take an aspirin unless I'm serious concern here. So yeah. Take them all 10 days if it says 10 days or however long it says. Judith in Manitowish Waters, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello. I have heard or done some research many years ago about Synthroid, and that Synthroid would, over like 5 years, absolutely atrophy your thyroid, whatever it would be left of it.
Oh, we lost her. She wanted to know about...
Do the same thing.
She wants to learn more about thyroid and synthyroid medication interactions, I think, is what's going on there.
Okay. Yeah, so the Synthroid medication or levothyroxine is essentially a thyroid supplement. So your body produces thyroid hormone, but sometimes people don't produce enough for various reasons. And so you have to take that thyroid medication to help supplement it. And so it can interact. That's one that a lot of times we tell patients to take it on an empty stomach for absorption purposes and can interact with other medications or foods. And so sometimes you have to space it from other medications and foods.
We had another email. How do you feel about using online pharmacies like Amazon Pharmacy? How do you weigh saving a few dollars with losing the personal relationship with an on-site pharmacist?
Yeah, there's been a lot of innovation with pharmacy services and things like you said, the Amazon Pharmacy. I think one thing that I would make sure that patients know if they are opt to use those types of pharmacies is make sure you know how to connect with the pharmacy services that they have there. How do you talk to a pharmacist when you need to? A lot of them will have 1-800 numbers you can call or video chats or chats. So you just want to make sure that you're able to access the pharmacist when you need to, if you're using some of those online pharmacies.
Reese in Madison has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Reese.
Hi. Good morning. I have a concern with multiple medications and their interactions. Can you help me find a person, a pharmacist, who would do a detailed analysis of prescriptions prescribed by various doctors at various strengths and received from various pharmacies?
So a pharmacist where you get your medications filled, if they have a complete list, could do some of that comprehensive medication management. So they should be able to take your full list and kind of look and see, one of the things that can come up sometimes with people who are taking a lot of medications is something we call polypharmacy. So maybe they might be taking a medication that that is actually treating the side effects of a different medication. And then because they are taking this medication, we have to add on another medication. So sometimes de-prescribing is the best step in solution in some of those situations where people are taking a lot of medications. Not always, but sometimes. So your pharmacist should be able to, take a look at those medications or if at the clinic that you're at, if they do have an ambulatory care pharmacist that can help you look through all those medications and do a comprehensive review.
Reese, there you go. So just have the whole list.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Mm-hmm.
or take a photo of them, a couple of photos of all of them, and then you've got them in your phone. That makes some sense, too. You can join in, too. Number to call, 800-642-1234. Email to talk at WPR.org. Yeah, it's a question. How do you figure out if your medications are interacting with each other? It's kind of an important thing, I would guess.
Yeah, certainly.
Go ahead. Sorry.
So that should be some. I mean, we use a lot of technology in the pharmacy to do that. We have drug interaction checkers, you know, and it's not always black and white. So sometimes, you know, there's medications that interact and it is an absolute. You should not use these two together. There's very high risk if you do. And then there's some where, you know, they're kind of in the middle where, you know, if the benefits outweigh the risks, then maybe you do take them together. And then there's some where it's more like it's okay, but we should really be monitoring for these types of side effects that could indicate that there is an interaction going on. So there's kind of gradations of drug interactions, and the pharmacist should be able to kind of tell if, you know, if it's one that's severe enough where we need to look at getting a different medication prescribed, or ones where, you know, we'll just be on the lookout for any signs that, you know, it is interacting.
Anne Graft-Ledesa, professor of pharmacy practice at Concordia University in Mequon, our guest today. She's also a licensed pharmacist who works in hospitals as well. It's great to have her with us. Questions for her? Give a call. The number's 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us to talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Taking a look at pharmacists today on the show with our guest Anne Graft-Ledesa, professor of pharmacy practice at Concordia University in Mequon, also a licensed pharmacist who works in hospitals. And coming up at noon, by the way, we're talking about with two people from the Native American Center for Health Professionals to learn more about how they're working to improve health care for Native communities. Right now, we're taking a look at pharmacy and safety concerns as well with Professor Anne Graft-Ledesa. Before we go back to the phones, just back to a minute to Judith and Manitouish Waters, was wondering if that synthyroid, the medication, can it destroy your thyroid?
That is not something that it is typically used for or is a side effect. Like I said, it's a supplement of your thyroid hormone. And people take it when they have low levels of thyroid hormone in their bodies to help increase those levels. Certainly that medication should be titrated to the right dosage so that you're not experiencing hyperthyroid levels. So some of those symptoms would be feeling, you know, hot and sweaty, having a high heart rate, things like that, that might indicate that your thyroid levels are too high. And then if they're too low and you need a higher dose, then you might be kind of cold all the time, you know, dry skin, kind of feeling sluggish, fatigue. Those are some symptoms. So certainly thyroid medication is one that we do check blood levels on and make sure that patients are taking the right dose for them.
Let's go to Peter in Duluth next. Peter, thank you for calling.
Yes, my question was regarding cold medicines, Mucinex, pseudoephedrine, medicines like that, decongestants. Has any studies been done on the efficacy you know, the day after it expires, is it just totally worthless, or 6 months after it expires, is it 50% effective? And is there a point after so long where it might become dangerous to take, or is it just that the efficacy just dies off totally after maybe a year or two?
Yeah. So I think I would guess to say that one day after it's probably not going to lose all effectiveness, right? The drug might slowly degrade and be less effective. Now, to the point where, when is it not effective enough to treat what you're taking it for? I think that isn't like a, you know, black and white, at 6 months, it's no longer good anymore to take. Certainly, if the compounds and chemicals break down in that medication to a point, it could cause some harm. I don't know of any studies that have specifically looked at certain products, especially, you know, like cold medicines and things like that. There are certain, places like that might utilize some recently expired medications, that, you know, they might have, you know, at a free clinic. And I'm not saying that those medications are, you know, completely unsafe or not useful. But certainly if you're the one purchasing that medication, in your drugstore or getting that medication filled, you want to make sure that, you're using it before that expiration date.
Dot in Manitowoc, we'll go to you now. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. After my back surgery, I was in recovery, and at breakfast time, the nurse came and gave me, well, maybe 4 or 5 medications. And she wanted me to take them all at once. And I was of the opinion that you should take one, wash it down with water, wait, a couple of minutes, and take another pill, wash it down with water. So I think she was a little annoyed at me because I wanted to take my time at taking them. Was I wrong, or is this procedures?
No, I mean, you're certainly, I was thinking about a couple different things as you were telling that story. Certainly, you know, after your procedure, taking your time with swallowing, depending on the type of procedure that you had, or, you know, if you had general anesthesia, your throat might be a little sore, and certainly taking them one at a time is fine. Also, medications can be taken at the same time, certain medications. There are some where we specifically want to make sure that they aren't taken together. And so usually as a hospital pharmacist, we do have those notes on the medication administration record that the nurses use to administer those. And we might time them out specifically by 1 or 2 hours so that we can ensure that those medications aren't given together. So there are some instances where we don't want to take them at the same time. But a lot of times people, you know, they take their morning medications and it's just easier for them to just, you know, they're small enough. They don't, you know, some are big and you really need to take them by themselves so that, you know, you can get them down. But sometimes it's just easier for people. But yeah, there's some where we want to make sure we space them, but others that we can just, you know, take together. But certainly if you needed to take your time and taking them one at a time, that's fine too.
Janice emailed us, is taking vitamins before bed a good time to take vitamins for better absorption?
I don't know that I've heard about differences of absorption. There might be, you know, certain vitamins that have been studied in that way as far as you know, being absorbed better at night. There are definitely some medications that are better taken at night. I'm not sure about specifically vitamins, and as a blanket statement, just saying, you know, vitamins at night are better absorbed. I haven't heard anything to that effect.
Andy and Stanley emailed wondering why generics are so much less expensive than the name brands. There's a biologic out for Crohn's that is a fifth the cost of the name brand Humira, but not all pharmacies have it or insurance companies cover it. Seems like the big drug company AbbVie that makes Humira is trying to keep the generic off the market.
Well, when companies come up with a new medication, there's patent laws, so they have a patent on it. So, you know, they have the ability to manufacture that drugs, you know, by itself until the patent runs out, and then other companies can then make the generic medication. So, you know, some of that goes to research and development for those manufacturers who are coming up with these newer drugs and innovating and, you know, coming up with new compounds. And so, you know, that could be, you know, part of, you know, what why brand names are more expensive than the generic.
And just to follow up, if you're on a brand name drug, should you switch to a generic if it becomes available?
In my opinion, I think, you know, if it becomes available, sometimes if depending on your insurance might be lower cost, your copay might be lower if a generic is available, and they'll say, you know, you should take the generic now that it is available, and this is how much you're going to pay versus if you continue taking the brand name. So, you know, for, it depends on, you know, if what you can afford.
Yeah.
I personally think the generics are just as good, and I take generic medications and encourage, you know, others to do so if available. And it is certainly sometimes our insurance formularies, prefer the generics because of their lower cost.
Yeah. And let's say take a life event, pregnancy, maybe menopause, or maybe just aging in general, that might call for a potential adjustment to your meds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly. That's why it's always good to, you know, kind of check in with your pharmacist or your prescriber, your provider that you're seeing, and let them know if, you know, medications don't seem to be working as well, or maybe you're experiencing new symptoms of something. It could be because of a medication, and we need to titrate that dose. Certainly as we age, the way we clear medications can change. Our kidneys are, you know, one way that we eliminate, you know, medication from our bodies. And as we age, our kidneys change. They become, you know, less able to filter some of those medications and clear some of those medications, and lower doses sometimes are needed as we age.
Well, Anne, this has been, I have learned a lot today. And I really appreciate the time you took to be with us. I hope we can do this again down the road. Thank you so much for being with us today. Really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me, Larry.
Anne Graft-Ladisa is a professor of pharmacy practice at Concordia University in Mequon. She's also a licensed pharmacist and does work in hospitals as well. It's great to have her with us today, and we'll get her back, and we'll do it again. Coming up, we're going to take a look at the Native American Center for Health Professionals. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News.